Kylie did such an excellent job of quoting Dr. Martin Luther King's speech. I don't even want to come behind her, but it was in my sermon, so I got to stick with it. So on Monday of this week, schools were closed in observance of the holiday, and that holiday was to celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, some tossed the idea around about whether or not it's a day on or a day off. As African Americans, we say, don't use the day laying around your house. Get out and be productive by joining in some worthwhile and productive event in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Because his entire life was spent being productive for us as a people, not just for us as a people, but for people in general. The least we can do on this day off is honor his life, his love, and his legacy. Now, don't look around when I ask this question. Don't look. How many of you attended some type of event in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday, January 20th? Since that was not for any particular reporting, we will move on. In keeping with our thought for today on dreams, we're reminded that Dr. King was definitely a dreamer. His "I Have a Dream" speech remains one of the most eloquent speeches the world has ever heard. The speech that lifted his dreams for not only America, but for his four little children. And I quote, like Kylie did, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And that's all I'm going to say, because Kylie has done enough. Unquote. But his speech doesn't stop there. He continues on unraveling his dream for America to rise up and live out its creed. Dr. King was passionate about his dream. It was evidenced in the way he delivered his speeches. Where did Dr. King get all his delivery power from? His ability to mesmerize an audience or even move them to tears? Good questions. Dr. King, as we know, was a biblical scholar. Amen. He knew the word. Amen. And he knew how to interpret the word. Amen. First and foremost, he relied on God to see him through his difficult days, his sleepless nights, and his encounters with his enemies. And just like Dr. King, you can have a dream too. No matter what your age may be, I didn't hear enough amens. Come on. Amen. You can have a dream too. Amen. No matter what your age may be. Because there's nothing so practical as a dream. Every invention, every discovery, every creative masterpiece, every seemingly impossible accomplishment started out as a dream. Right. It started out and it blossomed into something bigger. Sometimes it's bigger than you are. And bigger than you're able to handle. But dreams can also be owning a small business or marrying the right person or a college degree. I'm reminded right here, and I won't call her name, of a woman in our church who always said that her dream was to one day have a college degree. She never gave up. She hung in there to the end and celebrated her accomplishment. She accomplished it with her children, and by the time she graduated from college, she had three grandchildren, and they joined her in the celebration. Even the college recognized her accomplishment in their campus newsletter. It was obvious to everyone that that was her lifetime dream. A dream that she never walked around with every day. A dream that she did walk around with every day. Because dreams aren't just about sleeping.
All right. Amen.
Dreams aren't just about sleeping. Amen. They are with us during our waking hours.
Yeah.
So today we want to travel back to the Old Testament time and pull out a young man who at 17 years of age was dreaming dreams of great significance for his time. His name was Joseph. And we are going to look at two episodes which speak on his dreams. One is found in Genesis 37, 5 to 9. And the second one is found in Genesis 41, 14 through 16. And remember, I'm not here to talk to you about the story of his life. I'm just here to bring up his dreaming. Because the dream that he had first was when he was 17 years old. And it had to do with his brothers, something he saw. And it was his brothers that were in the dream. And when he told them, they became angry. In fact, they were mad. They were angry with him. They already didn't like him anyway. And they were jealous because he was the favorite of his father. And the second one takes us to Genesis 41, where Joseph is called in from a prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And there in the interpretation of his dream, you go back to the dream that he had when he was 17. And for a subject, I want to use dream it, believe it, and do it. Dream it, believe it, and do it. So we could stand on our feet and go to Genesis 37 and 5 and 9. Your homework is to read all of that. It's going to take you about a month to read all of that, because you got to read from Genesis 37 on out to 50, because that takes care of Joseph. So you'll know a little bit about who Joseph is. Amen. Amen. If you're a churchgoer and you're a Bible scholar, you should know something about these characters in the Bible. Somebody walk up to you and say, do you know Joseph? Yeah, I know the one from the Bible. I may not know Joseph down the street, but I know the one from the Bible. Amen? And so we're going to read Genesis 37, 5. Let's read together. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Quickly move over to 41 while you're still on your feet. 41, 14 to 16. Are we ready? Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream and to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God. Give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Thus ended the reading of God's holy word. May its truth sink deep into our hearts for spiritual transformation. Dream it, believe it, do it. Dream it, believe it, do it. Go back with me now to Canaan, where we find the Israelites who were shepherds by occupation. Joseph, as you will recall, was his father's favorite son. His brothers were jealous of him because their father didn't even try to hide his favoritism. Theologians state that Joseph was a little overconfident. Over the years, it probably increased because Jacob gave him special attention. Joseph's youthful pride caused friction with his 10 older brothers, and to add more fuel to the fire, Jacob made Joseph a special cloak or coat of many colors. So in contrast to his brother's cloaks, Joseph stood out like a royal prince. And to top it all off, he shared his dream with them about how they were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly his sheaf rose and stood upright while his brother's sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to it. Now, you and I both know that the brothers were seething with anger. They were just mad. They were upset. They were ready to kill their own brother over a robe and a few reported dreams. They took the robe, but they could not take his dream. They sold him into slavery, but they could not sell his soul. And they just knew that he would not be able to survive a 30-day journey through the hot desert, but they had no idea that he would make it to Egypt and end up in the house of royalty. What they did not understand was the power of a dream. By the time Joseph got to Egypt, his dream had been scorched by the blazing sun in the desert. His dream had been shattered by the very thought of being sold into slavery. His dream had been run down by the sight of the wild animals they encountered on the journey. Yeah, we're talking about Joseph's precious dream. It was beaten down. It was treated like a piece of baggage, especially if he opened his mouth about any of his dreams. His dreams had been completely altered and had him baffled as to what would be the final outcome. But most of all, Joseph's dreams were going through culture shock as he moved from the safety of home and family to a strange land, strange people, and most of all, to strange gods. All right. And yet Joseph never stopped dreaming. Amen. Whether his dreams had been scorched, whether his dreams had been shattered or run down, whether his dreams had been beaten down, altered, or passing through culture shock, Joseph did not stop dreaming. He kept right on holding on to his dream. Amen. In fact, the Bible says that not only did Joseph continue to hold on to his dream, but he became an interpreter of dreams. From the prison to the palace, unraveling the dreams of prisoners and the Pharaoh, Joseph was ready all for almost anything because of his right relationship with God. It wasn't Joseph's knowledge of dreams that helped him interpret their meaning. It was his knowledge of the living God. All right. And Joseph made sure that he gave the credit to God, to the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through it all, Joseph continued holding on to his dream. And over in the 42nd chapter, which we don't have time to read, you're going to do your homework from 37 all through 50. Joseph remembered his dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. And now the dream was about to come true. When he was a young boy, Joseph boasted and he bragged about his dream to his brothers. But now there was no need. There was no need to flaunt his superior status and position over his brothers. He didn't even feel the need to say, "I told you so." He was grateful to God that he had made it through so much while still holding on to his dreams. Amen. Like Joseph, because we are a household of faith, we need to pay attention to how dreams are handled in God's word. Whether we listen to or heed the message of our dreams, or summarize the importance of our dreams, or list the things that help us to recall our dreams, or whether or not we know the 7 foundational principles for interpreting dreams. I don't think you know those. There are 3 important points that believers should follow. In the dream it, believe it, do it. Mm-hmm. The first one is you got to pray. Amen. Prayer must be at the foundation of every one of your dreams. Every one of your dreams, you should pray about them, especially if you wake up and they're vividly in your mind. You should drop down and pray about them. If you can't drop on your knees, then stand up and pray. It doesn't matter the position. Just make sure that you pray. For the Christian army, prayer is simply our communication or dialogue with God. We need to talk to God, but we also need to listen and to meditate on what God says back to us. Prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian experience, and without it, the Christian is like a man without oxygen, grasping for air, stifling, and dying. Now is the time to develop a 24/7 prayer habit. That's the way we hold on to our dreams. We put the habit on. We don't leave home without it. God knows you, and he knows your heart. So keep on praying, my brothers and my sisters, for God will answer your prayers. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. And sometimes he says wait. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to God about your dreams. Get off the phone with Sally and Sue and Harry and everybody. Get on your knees or stand up or sit down and bow your head and have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him what's going on in your life. You don't have to be scared. He's always with you. The Bible gives accounts of how God has used dreams to speak to believers and non-believers. He sometimes uses these dreams to reveal his will to Christians and sometimes to draw non-believers to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But understand that not every dream is from God. Dreams must be placed against the word of God to see if it aligns with his will for your life. Dreams sent from God never contradict the scriptures. They will agree with the word, and if all of that is in agreement, then dream it, believe it, and do it.
Amen.
That's the plan after you pray. Give your dream some order. How can you follow your dream if you don't know what to do first? You have to get it in order. Fix your sights on the dream and stay focused. Don't get caught up in anything that won't take you there. Successful dreamers do not indulge in things that may take them on a wild goose chase. Instead, they move with a steady pace, no matter how long it takes, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals. They do it in a way that supports their dreams. Remember, the best path to take for dream it, believe it, do it is to pray first and establish your connection with God, the giver of all dreams. The second thing you want to remember is to have a plan. Get your steps in some kind of order. And finally, pursue your dreams. Just do it. Once your dream is before you, you must embrace it. If you don't embrace it, who will? It's your dream. So step up to the plate and claim it. You dreamed it, now believe it. And for God's sake, pursue it. When Joseph had his dream as a young teenager, he had no idea where it would lead. But the Bible shows us how God took care of Joseph in the midst of all that happened and brought him to a place where he watched the unveiling of his own dream. He shared his dream with his brothers and they became jealous. I told you that. He interpreted the Pharaoh's dream and was raised from the prison to the palace. And because of the famine in the land, the jealous brothers had to stand before him to request food and grain to eat. A lot of years passed by. A lot of things had happened. But God was riding on that dream. And with him in charge, it was bound to come to pass. The brothers meant it for evil. But thank God Almighty, God meant it for good. Sometimes it may take a while, but you keep on praying and believing because you're never too old to dream. Let me say that again. Sometimes it may take a while, but you keep right on praying and believing because you're never too old to dream. Dreaming has no age limit. I know that's right. No matter how old you are, if God says so, it can happen. We thank God today, even for rocking chair dreams. We seniors have dreams too, and we can teach the world about dreaming. Margaret Martin said, I dream many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realized enough of my dreams, thank God, to make me want to dream on.
All right.
you are here in this house today, it's not a dream. You made it. Pinch yourself.
Amen.
You're here.
You.
It's a reality. But sometimes it's easy to float between a dream and reality, especially when you have a lot on your mind. The tendency can be to excuse a dream as folly and forget about it altogether. It has been said that you are never too old to dream, as I said before, and you should pay attention to what you see in your dream. Please understand that this word today was not about giving explanations or signs for dreams. This is about your goals, your aspirations, your desires, your inward motivation for good. Some people say it's too late for dreaming big dreams. I've done all I can do. Because of their age, they aren't even considering the possibility of taking their lives to another level. But just think. Think of the countless number of people who have dared to dream and lived to see a promise fulfilled in their lives. You can start with Abraham. All the way back in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, who became first-time parents at a ripe old age because God made a promise. Yes. And we have a baby to bless today. But Abraham and Sarah had a baby blessed a long time ago when they were well beyond the childbearing age.
Amen. Amen.
Michelangelo, great sculptor and artist, laid on his back and painted the Sistine Chapel in Rome, lying on his back on a scaffold, 90 years old.
Praise God.
Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. Nelson Mandela lived through the whole prison situation. He lived through it and came back home and became the president. That's what I'm talking about. The dream stayed right with him. It never left him. He became a living legend. Aside from age, life could present other roadblocks and obstacles that could keep you from fulfilling your dream. It's the roadblocks and all the little obstacles that hinder our progress. So don't listen. Just dream it, believe it, and do it. It builds your character. Joseph's life story shows us the value of character. Joseph was centered in faith and trusted in God. He was devoted to serving God and man with honor and dependability. He was unwilling to be deterred by the hatred, betrayal, and forgetfulness of others. He was willing to forgive the wrongs committed by others, even his brothers. And finally, he was able to see the big picture, God's wonderful workings in the affairs of men. And who better to look at but Jesus?
Amen.
In all the character traits listed for Joseph, Jesus outshines them all. For he is Alpha and he is Omega. What is he, everybody? You should say that louder than that.
Alpha and Omega.
He reigns supreme in everything. He is the reason why we are convicted, committed, and consecrated to the kingdom. He is the reason why we join in the fellowship Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's Jesus' glory to God. It's Jesus. If you know he's kept you, you ought to give him some praise when you come in the house. Whatever you've been through, this week, this month, this year, last year, you made it. You made it. Because you are here today. You made it because you're sitting in the temple today. You made it because you can still see. You made it because you can still hear. You made it because your heart is still pumping blood throughout your veins. You made it. Thank God Almighty, you made it. Thank God it's not a dream. And I pinch myself. I say, glory. 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 Hallelujah. It's not a dream. I'm still here. Somebody asked me when I retired. And I had to think about it. I said it was 2005. The lady looked at me. She said, you've been retired since 2005? I said, yes. Glory, hallelujah. I'm still here. And I thank God. holy name. We don't come in here to sit down on God. We come in here to give him praise. We come in here to give him glory. We come in here to shout, thank you, Jesus. For it was Jesus. Jesus. It was Jesus that brought you from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. I know I got a witness in the house today. Hey. Glory to God. So, the saints of old. I'm not too. I just got carried away. But the lady couldn't believe that I retired in 2005. And we're now up on top of a new decade. 2020. Thank you, Jesus. So the saints of old dreamed about this day. By his grace, we are living in this day. They longed to see the day. They were in the Old Testament. But we live in the what? Oh, you got to answer better than that. Where are you living? You're in the New Testament. But they longed to see the coming of the Messiah down through 40 and two generations. Abraham, all the way back there in the beginning of the Old Testament. He saw his reflection in Melchizedek, king of Salem. I'm talking about what they saw coming, Jesus. Jacob called him Shiloh. Moses said he was the Passover lamb. Joshua said he was captain of our salvation. Ruth saw him as the kinsman redeemer. David called him the lion of the tribe of Judah and the good shepherd. Solomon said he was the beloved. Ezra and Nehemiah pictured him as our restorer. To Esther, he was our advocate. Job said, I know that my redeemer liveth. Isaiah described him as a suffering servant. Jeremiah saw him at the potter's wheel. Ezekiel called him the son of man. Daniel, the prince and the smiting stone. Hosea likened him to a bridegroom redeeming a fallen wife. To Joel, he was the restorer. To Amos, saw him as a heavenly husbandman. Obadiah said he was the Savior. Jonah said he was resurrection and life. Micah called him a witness. Nahum said he was a stronghold in a day of trouble. Habakkuk described him as a God of his salvation. Zephaniah said he was a jealous Lord. Haggai said he was the desire of all nations. Zechariah called him the righteous branch. Malachi declared him the son of righteousness. And John the Baptist, you know John the Baptist? John the Baptist cried out with a loud voice, behold! Behold! Behold the Lamb of God! Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin and would be called Emmanuel, God with us. David and Isaiah told how he would die. Job prophesied of his resurrection. Others pointed out that he would work miracles, speak in parables, be rejected by leaders, be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver, and then be led away as a lamb to the slaughter. Be led away, crucified. Be led away and die. Be led away and buried in a borrowed tomb. But the grave could not hold our Savior. But Annie! Sunday morning, at the crack of dawn, he got up with all power in his hands. He is our King. He is our Lord of Lords, our Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. How many of you know? And how many of you believe that all power is in his hands? Stand on your feet if you know that all power is in his hands. That's why we came today. Dream it, believe it, and do it. What you say, children, say it back to me. I want to hear all the children say it. Shout it out. All of Bethel shout it. Come on. We are people. We are people who live our lives based on the hope in Jesus Christ. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest brain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For it's on Christ. Uh-huh. On Christ.
Yes.
On Christ. The solid rock, I said. All of the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is what? It's sinking sand. On Christ. The solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you got a dream, if it's a sleep dream or it's a waking dream, we're sitting right here. Dream on. Dream on. Don't stop. Don't stop dreaming. I don't care how old you are. Dream on. Believe in your dream. And then get up off your rusty dusty and do something about it. Get up. We got to show these children how to get up and do something about their dreams. They can be anybody and anything they want to be. Come on. They can be anybody they want to be. And we're going to continue to watch them grow up in the body of Christ. And there may be someone under the sound of my voice who needs to understand this dream. Who needs to understand that it's a God-given thing.
Come on.
That we don't come in here to shout and sing praises without understanding that God is in charge of our dream. Amen. We're standing here.
Yeah.
We're standing here knowing full well that the reason why we're standing is because of God.
Amen.
That's why we're standing.
Yeah.